My name is Max Nagelletti. I'm 13 years old. Today is November 26th, 2017. And I'm speaking with Alberto Nagelletti, who is my grandfather. We are recording this interview in Old Tappan, New Jersey. Can you tell me a bit about your childhood? What were you like as a child?
Hi. I was born in Argentina, and I was the only son of Mario and Clara Nagelletti, and I had a regular, nothing unusual. I didn't have brothers or sisters, and that is something I would have liked to have a brother and a sister, particularly a sister. So in a way, I adopted my cousins to be my sisters, and I had two wonderful female cousins. One died recently, and the other one is still very much alive.
Who's and the one that died recently?
Kelita. Oh. And we are live my parents and I very close to my grandfather, my aunt, my uncles, and we had a very close family group. We got together for lunch every Sunday, usually at home, because my mother was the oldest sister, the oldest daughter of my grandfather. And so most of the family reunions were at home. I enjoyed playing sports. I had good friends. My parents were wonderful. Entertainment, we didn't have TV, but we have radio. My parents were lovers of good music, and so was I. And I like to play soccer and also listen to soccer, the radio transmissions of soccer games every Sunday. And
that's it?
And that was it.
All right. Tell me a favorite memory of me.
The day you were born. I still remember I was in Washington, D.C., attending a professional meeting. And at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I received news by phone that your mother was in labor. And we did not anticipate you were going to be born that soon. And so I jumped on the car and drove 90 miles per hour on the New Jersey Turnpike back to the Mount Sinai Hospital where you were born. And when I saw you, your father took me to see you through a glass window, and you were so handsome and so energetic, and I fell in love with you. I said, this is my grandson. And I look and I wish you a wonderful future. And I look at you and I said, perhaps this young man will someday get to become president of the United States. So I'm waiting, Max.
Can you tell me one of about one of the most difficult moments in your life?
Well, the difficult. Listen, I am a very fortunate man. I have some difficult moments, but not extremely difficult. Probably the death of my father, and then my mother were difficult because they died very young.
And
my father was 59, wow. My mother was 56.
I didn't know that.
And so the, but you see, I have memories in my, they are still with me because I have their memories. We built wonderful memories. They build wonderful memories with me that will be with me for the rest of my life. And that's one of the reasons why I like to build memories with you and your brother and your cousins, because this is what life is all about. I'm most likely to depart this world. And you and your siblings will be behind. And I want to leave you with memories for you to keep me alive and to transmit those memories to your children.
Okay. Can you tell me about one or two people who have been the biggest influences on your life?
Well, my father, my mother, few friends. I have some very good friends who have been friends of mine for over 50 years, and they always gave me their support. I had I had a wonderful teacher, high school teacher, Mrs. Ensi. He was a chemistry teacher. She was the best teacher I ever had, and I think she taught me. She taught me chemistry in a way that I will never forget it. And I still remember her lessons and apply her lessons to my work every day. So, and then over the years I had mentors, people that have helped me along in high school, in the university, after graduation, that have helped my professional, have guided me in my professional life, and for whom I am very grateful.
All right. Of the people you've lost in your life, who do you miss the most, and what do you miss about them?
Well, the answer is quite obvious. I miss my father and I miss my mother. I would have loved for them to be around when you were born. Neither of my parents were around to get to know you or to get to know your father, because they died before, or your aunt. But you know, to come to accept, because that's the way life is all about. In a way, if you develop a philosophical view of life, when people died, your father, your mother died, yes, that's a loss. It's a big loss. But you are still left with the memories when they were alive and all they did to you and all they contributed to you. In fact, part of them lives in you. So, that being the case, they are always with you and you never lose them completely. They are not around, you cannot hear them talk, but you remember them the way they were, you remember their words, you remember their teachings. And that's the way I remember my parents. They are very much alive in my thoughts. There is no day I don't remember my father, I don't remember my mother, I remember my grandfather, for example. He's very much alive. Little things, but important things. And that's the reason why I like to build memories with you and your brother and your cousins.
Can you tell me one of your happiest memories?
When I met your grandmama, and I fell in love with her almost immediately. When I married your mother, when your father was born, when your aunt was born, when your father got married to your mother, when I met your mother, whom I love dearly, she is another daughter to me, and nothing beats the happiness I experienced in those moments. There were other great moments when my soccer team won, when Argentina won the World Cup in soccer in 1976, and then in 1978, and then in 1986. That was a great time. So I was very happy when President Obama was elected president. It was the right thing at the time. But nothing compares with the happiness experience, memories created by my family members.
That's a very intelligent response. I'll say that right now. All right. That was very philosophic.
Papito, you have to put things in the big picture, everything.
What was your childhood home like, and who else lived in the house with you, and what did your bedroom look like?
I live with my father and my mother. Occasionally, for some time, we lived in a big house with my grandfather also and my aunt. But most of the times we had a home, my mother, my father, and myself. My room was messy, and my mother was always telling me to keep it clean and to put everything in place and to put hang the clothing and keep the books on top of the table. So, like all mothers do, have done, do, and will do in the future with their children. We play games. Weekends, we went to the movies. Movies were a big family activity in those years in the 50s, late 40s, early 1950s. You could see two movies per showing. So you could spend easily 4 hours in the movies. We would go usually at matinees in the afternoon. So I like westerns at that time. Most of the movies were American movies, and I enjoyed them very much. Adventure films. And my father taught me to play soccer. No, to play chess. And I used to play chess with him every day almost. And then we would go and participate in tournaments. He would play in the senior tournaments. I would play in the junior tournaments. And after the games, regardless of whether we had won or lost the game, we would go over the moves we had made, trying to identify the mistakes and the right moves. And while doing that with the games, we would drink, he would make coffee, which he would drink, and I would make tea, which I would drink, until I grew up and was old enough to drink coffee. And it was, those were great times. Oh, on Sundays we would listen to the transmissions of the soccer games played in Buenos Aires. That was the major city in Argentina where the most important teams were located. So, and since I was living in the interior of Argentina, and we didn't have television at that time, we would learn about the soccer games by the radio, listening to the radio.
Okay. How would you describe me to someone who has never met me?
Listen, every time I have described you to my friends who haven't met you. But by now, most of my friends have met you because you know them. I don't have many friends, but the ones I have, they know you. I said it's the most better looking, most intelligent young man I have ever seen. I'm very proud of my grandson. And I was, and I am. And I will continue being so in the future, forever and ever. Have high hopes for you, Pichon. And it's a partial view of somebody you love very much. And that's the way grandparents feel. I'm sure it's not unique to me. Most grandparents, probably all grandparents, feel the same way about their grandchildren. You know, grandchildren are very special to us, to grandparents. And the gifts of God in the later years of your life. To be treasured, to be enjoyed.
Can you tell me some of the most important lessons that you have learned in life?
You have to be truthful to yourself. You have to give enough thought to what you want to achieve and why do you want to achieve. Make certain that whatever you want to achieve is worth achieving, and then do the right thing. Do the right thing. Sometimes the right thing is not the most convenient thing to do, but it should be done because it is right. I think that I want to be useful to society. One should be a useful member of society. I try to do so. And I hope that my children and grandchildren will do the same thing. And if you do that, I think you will be rewarded. I think that we all are responsible for the world in which we live, and the world we leave to our children and grandchildren. And I think that we have to, that should be a priority in our lives. And certainly it's a priority in my life, and hope it will be a priority in your life.
Okay.
Be respectful of other people. Be respectful of your elders. Be respectful of your family, of your parents, your siblings. Be respectful of your friends. Never say anything about a person that could be hurtful. If you cannot say anything, if you are going to say something hurtful to somebody else, better don't say it. These are general rules on how to live a good life. Yeah, I think it's important to stick to it, to those rules.
Yes, positive movements and, mm-hmm. and no negative critiques.
Try to make an effort to look at life from a good side. There is always something good about almost everything. And it's important to play a positive role in life and view life in a positive way. Do you know what I do when I feel down, when I feel depressed?
What?
I listen to music.
Music is
wonderful music. I mean, just the music can alter the mood, the way I think. When I think that when I feel down for one reason or another, I start remembering happy tunes. And that changes the outlook of things. Usually that makes me happy.
Yeah, especially music that you like. And not like negative. You want to listen to positive music, not critical music.
I love nice tunes. I like jazz, particularly the music from the big band era period. I like Broadway shows music. You always see me sometimes singing some tunes, Hello Dolly, The Music Man, and so on. I love that. That's happy music. And happy tunes that's the way I am. I'm not too much into rock. I like rock and roll from the 50s. But modern music, I don't understand modern music very much. Okay. But that's maybe myself. That doesn't mean that my modern music is not good. It's just that my ear is not tuned to modern music.
Can you tell me about a historic event that had an impact on your life? What are your most vivid memories of that event, and how did it make you feel? The topics might include World War II, the Holocaust, the Korean War, the Civil Rights Movement, the assassination of President John F. Kennedy, the March on Washington, 9/11, etc.
All of them. I have a vivid memory of all of them, with the exception of World War I, because I was very small. I was born in 1941. World War II started in 1939, but the United States involvement began with Pearl Harbor in 1941, on December the 7th, 1941, and I was born on December the 11th, fourth day after the beginning of the war. But I remember the Korean War, because I read about the Korean War in the newspapers. I remember about the Cuban confrontation between the United States and Cuba. That was a very scary event because of the implications that the whole world could blow up in a nuclear conflict as a result of it. I remember very clearly the election of President Kennedy. He was very popular in Argentina, and everybody liked him very, very much. I remember the beginning of the Vietnam War, and that was sad because so many people, young people, went to war and died for really not good reasons. I remember the assassination of a very sad event, the assassination of President Kennedy, the assassination of Martin Luther King, the assassination of Robert Kennedy. That hit me very hard because Robert Kennedy was killed when he was running for president of the United States in 1968. He was killed, I believe, in April or May of that year, after the Californian primaries, after he had won the Californian primaries. And I was coming to the States I came to the States for the first time in July of that year. And I remember that I had second thoughts. I said, why do I want to go to a country where their leaders are assassinated? I was very concerned. I thought there was something wrong in the way the United States dealt with these issues. That was a very difficult period in the country because not only there was political upheaval, there was also racial upheaval. There were very serious divisions between blacks and whites, and that were very regretful. But many of those things have improved over the years. I was particularly happy then when President Obama was elected, because that was I would not have predicted that. Other big events which I enjoyed very much was the first landing on the moon, 1969. That was a major achievement of the United States and of the human race. 1969. That was 1 year after we had come to the States, and I took pictures from the landing on my television set. I still remember at night with my photographic camera and taking pictures of the actual landing on the moon. I remember very well then the positive, very good things happens in the 70s with when the reapproachment between the United States and Russia and China,
Is that it?
And that's it.
All right. I'm gonna skip that one for the last. What are your wishes for me?
Oh, I wish you to be happy. I wish you to be successful in identifying what do you really want to achieve in your life. And that says something that usually takes some time and some effort to actually pinpoint. And then I want you to go for it and work hard to achieve it. Don't take shortcuts, just work hard. The best, I heard somebody told me many years ago, one of my teachers, that the best combination to achieve success is to take tasks seriously, to sweat, to cry, and if necessary, to bleed. And that combination of blood, sweat, and tears is the best, are the best ingredients in efforts to achieve success. And so I want you to be happy. I wish you to be able to have good friends, be truthful to your friends. Eventually, I hope you will be able to establish a family, a good family, and be as happy as I have been when I did so, and as happy as your parents have done. And I cannot think of a better wish.
That was very truthful, by the way. What was that? Okay. What were you like as a teenager?
I was a bit square as a teenager. I was not a very popular teenager. I had good friends, but I don't have many friends. I didn't have many, many, many friends.
Well, that doesn't matter in life.
No, it doesn't. I had good friends which I have kept for many, many, many years. I was, when I said I was a bit square, was because I was a bit square. I think I was never the most popular kid in the world. Not that I worried too much about being, but I was popular enough to have few good friends, and that for me that has been enough. I like music. I was okay at school, but I was not a bookworm. But I did study, particularly things that I did like. I read extensively. I did my jobs. And as I said to you before, every time I was confronted with having to make decisions, I made an active effort to make the right decision and to do the right thing, not the most convenient thing. To do the right thing for society. I think you have to be, we have, as my parents gave me that notion that you have to, we serve society and we have to be helpful to others and to society at large. And we shouldn't do anything at all which just is antisocial in nature. So that's it.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
That's all you have to say? All right. Do you remember any songs you sang to Dad or Aunt Gabby when he or she was a baby? And can you sing any for me now?
Yes. There was an old song, Spanish song, to put kids to sleep, which my mother sang to me and when I was a child, a baby, and which I used to sing to your aunt and your father when they were children. And that was the arroro. Arroro mi niño, arroro mi sol, arroro pedazo de mi corazón. The translation would be something like, I roll, roll my baby, I roll, roll my son, I roll, roll little piece of my heart. That's one of them. The other one I remember was one I invented over the spot when one night your aunt woke me up at 4 o'clock in the morning. She might have been 3 o'clock in the morning. She must have been 4 or 5 years old. And she was crying because she had lost a tooth. So she woke me up saying, "Hi, Daddy, I've lost a tooth." So I said, I started singing spontaneously, "At 3 o'clock in the morning, the tooth came out," and she joined, and we were both singing, "At 3 o'clock in the morning, the tooth came out." And we kept going, and she was laughing, and then she went back to sleep. Periodically, even now, sometimes when I meet your aunt, we start thinking that to each other. That's what I call memories.
That's a fond memory. That is a real memory.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Two more questions.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the story of why and how our ancestors came to this country? Or you can say Argentina, because not many people came to America. You and Alejandro came to America.
My father was born in 1904 in Jerusalem. At the time, Jerusalem was under the control of the Ottoman Empire. And that was before World War I.
Okay.
And he and his family, his parents, my grandparents, decided to migrate to Argentina. In 1908, and that was at that time many people from Europe and the Middle East were migrating, were escaping, looking for a better life. Many came to the United States. Many other people went to South America, primarily Argentina. So my grandparents went to Argentina with my father and his siblings, and that was the major reason. They were looking for a better life. They went to Argentina, and then I came to America in 1968 to pursue postgraduate training. At the Cleveland Clinic Research Foundation in Cleveland, Ohio. And again, I did so because I came to learn, and at the same time, I was looking for better opportunities to live. I came with your mother. We came one year after we got married.
My grandmother.
Your grandmother. Before, 1 year after we got married, and this country received us with open arms and have no regrets. We started a new life, which is
no regrets. Wow. Okay, final question. Okay. At the end of the interview, which is now, Take a few moments to tell your partner what they mean to you. So, I don't know if it's my turn or if it's your turn. So, I guess we can both go, okay?
Who?
We can both say this. So, I'm going to tell you what you mean to me, and I think you're going to tell me what I mean to you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, Grandpapa, you mean the world to me, and I love you so much, and I don't think I'd be at this point in life where I am today because of you. And you've taught me so much. You have just been the biggest influence on me. You are a smart, intelligent man, and that is how you will be passed on from generation to generation.
Pichoncito, listen. I'm pleased you're thinking that way because you are also the world to me. The most important thing in my life is my family and my friends. And you and your brother and your father and your mother and your grandmother are at the top of the list. You're very special to me because you're my oldest grandson, and I always see in you to become eventually the leader of the family. After I am not on this earth, probably your father will be assume the role, and after that it will be up to you and up to your brother, and I hope that the name of the family can be carried for many generations into the future, and all of you become valuable members of society. And so in a way, I see in you my ticket to eternal life, because you are part of me, I am part of you, and when the day come and I am not on this earth anymore, you will be here, and part of me will be in you. So your achievements will be my achievements. So you are a ticket to my future. And hopefully that will continue. It's a way of reaching into the future. And that's it.
All right. Thank you, Tito Nascioletti. All right. So that's it. And thank you, Ms. Picotta, for assigning this project. And it was actually very fun. And goodbye. Thank you.
Goodbye. I'm pleased to have been useful.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.